Welcome everyone to tonight's Social Worker Forum, and of course we live in interesting times, and we're pleased to have Mark France here, who is a member of Manchester Social Worker Society, and he's going to talk about Corbyn, socialism and the election. He'll speak for 20-25 minutes, and then we'll open it up for questions and discussion, and then he'll come back and sum up at the end. And we'll keep a bit of time at the end to talk about some of the campaigning we need to get organised and we need to get going. Okay.
Okay, great. I feel really excited. I feel that it's a privilege to be speaking here in Chesterfield, but particularly tonight and today, because the election's on now. 3 weeks today. It's like, I'm more scared to hope, you know? But we are hoping, and it is about hope. This is about hope and despair, this election, isn't it? And it's the most important election. It's not just saying that. It's the most important election, certainly in my lifetime, you know. And it is, in terms of the future of the society and the country. So, but I want to start, though, with last night, because last night in Manchester, or rather in Salford, the media city, there was the debate. And it's just down the road from me, and we heard about it the night before, they're going to be in Salford. Right, get down there. And I went down with a load of placards. I'm very active in the Stand Up To Racism group. And when I got there at 6, didn't start till, it was supposed to be, we called it something for 6:30. There's already 30, 40 people there. They'd been there waiting for Corbyn. And Corbyn had come already. And he'd been and shook hands with everybody. And they all had selfies with everybody. And then he went in. I missed him, unfortunately. But when I got there, there was a few people there. And it started to get bigger. And people said, "You got them, give me their placards." They've all got the placards, you know, no to Boris Johnson. And then I could hear some drumming. I thought, what's that? I saw some guy, I thought, I know him, he's from XR, because I go to the Extinction Rebellion meetings, yeah. He's got this big drum. And then they're practicing, and then they come up, and they join the protest, and there were about 70 people there by now. And I said to them, "I'll announce that you're here, Extinction Rebellion." And they went, no, don't do that. They're all in Extinction Rebellion, but Extinction Rebellion, there's Extinction Rebellion. I've got problems in terms of reacting to the election, but these were the anti-capitalists in Extinction Rebellion. Mm-hmm. And they were there, and then they said, "We're going to do this." They asked me, "Is it right? Can we do this song, this tune, chant right here?" And it goes, "Climate change and exploitation are not caused by immigration. Bullshit, come off it. The enemy is profit." That's good. Older comrades might know this or not. It's everything. Climate, yeah. Exploitation, profit. Jobs, profit, you know. This was going down. And then everyone started singing this. It was getting bigger and bigger. And then then we're all looking, and there's all the TV crews are there. There must have been five TV crews. They film Corbyn going in, they're going to film Johnson going in. And then his car comes down, and it's coming like straight towards us. And it goes like that. And it goes in the back door. And we have a rally. Yeah. Now, there were two people there on the other side, I didn't get to see them, that were there to support Boris Johnson.
Two.
Now, Boris Johnson has something that him and his clever friends have learned, or whatever, and it's called a Northern Strategy. Brexit voting people in the northern cities and towns, especially men, older men. We're going to get them, we're going to appeal to them, and they're going to vote. Never mind they voted Labour all their lives, or they're from this, that, they're going to vote for the Conservative Party. If they were, there'd have been a few more than two of them there. What I'm saying is this is a bit of a problematic political strategy for him and his people. So that was really, really encouraging. And lots of people at the protest were like, "Yeah, we'll come back because we're going to have another protest in Manchester on the day, I think it's when Trump comes to London, and we're going to have a little protest." And I think I've seen you've got some protest as well, haven't you? So that's really just to say, like, I started to get really excited yesterday, you know, and the people on the ground were like, they're really up for it.
Yeah.
But the other thing I want to talk about, before I talk a bit more about the election, is the sort of world in which this election is taking place. Because the last election was good, right? Did well, Labour got a lot more votes and more seats, great. But this election, there is a global revolt going on as we speak. I mean, we're looking at uprising and protests in Iraq and Iran and Lebanon, you know, and there's all the stuff going on in South America, but also in the European Union we've had 1 year of protests in Spain, looking like it's going to carry on, maybe carry on with the yellow vests and the unions against austerity. And they have a really good slogan: from the end of the week to the end of the world. We need to get wages and jobs so that we make it to the end of the week. But we know we're also in this for the fight to stop the end of the world. And it brings the two things together. And I think that is quite exciting. Also now an uprising, a rebellion rather, in the Czech Republic. And then there's stuff happening in Spain. So I think what I'm saying is this is a global revolt. And in many ways, the push for this global revolt in Britain is into the election. I'm going to argue, and I think we should see this election as part of the global revolt. You know, because what people are looking to Corbyn in the election for, they're looking for the similar things in lots of other places, and the struggle is really against a whole economic and political system that's gone on for 40-odd years. Sometimes it's called neoliberalism. It's about the absolute pursuit of profit or privatisation of the rich getting richer. Who cares about the rest? And we know what that has done over the last 10 years. So the protests in a lot of these countries are about the end of this project of neoliberalism. I think the clearest is look at Chile, where it actually started with the coup with Pinochet, the massacring of the left, physical massacring of the left, bringing in austerity and privatisation, and Thatcher follows that, and then this is the model for almost every part of the world. You know, a similar sort of policy, and that has now been rejected in Chile. And you know, we're at a protest, a solidarity protest in Manchester in Chile, and one of the Chileans had a placard. You know, neoliberalism started in Chile. And today it is ending in Chile, and you know they made that link. Okay, so this is the most important election, and there's two possible outcomes. If you get a majority government from Boris Johnson, the Tories get back in. He's got to win a majority bigger than Theresa May and bigger than he's got. That's a big thing for him to do. I wonder whether that is possible. Or we're going to have a Corbyn government or a Corbyn-led government. And if the Tories get in, we will be gutted. I remember in 1979, unfortunately, when Thatcher got in, when people say they're gutted, you physically feel the thing in your gut. This is not like, oh, well, we're gutted. No, you really do. But well, what will we all feel like if the Tories lose? People will be confident, high with expectation, and all the bosses will have their heads down. So it really, really does matter, because the confidence and combativity of our class will be affected with this election. Now there are clear differences. I do remember being in the elections when people say they're all the same, and you say, well, they're not quite, but I know what you mean. Well, they do not look the same now. They are no way is any similarity on any question. Boris Johnson, get Brexit done. That's everything. That's all he's going to say. All he has said, I think, and all he can say. And Corbyn and Labour and the manifesto launch, and I would say that he's got an answer, and the manifesto is approaching an answer for every political, social question in the country, for all parts of it. You can go through it. I was unfortunate, I looked through the manifesto, you could say, yeah, well, don't like that bit, you missed out the other bit. But forget that. This is transformational change. And something that would be really, really good. You know, this is what our class needs and what we want. Laura Kunzberg, I know she's not very popular. I know she asked a question of Corbyn when he did his manifesto launch today. I know a load of people started booing, because she's the BBC correspondent, and she's the mouthpiece for the BBC and the mouthpiece of the ruling class. You know, and she really has to. And they started booing her, and she said, no, don't boo her. Let's listen to her question. But something she said on the first, the very beginning of this election, and I'll just read it, get it right, because she said that Johnson's strategy was questionable because he's trying to fight the general election as if it were a referendum. Will this strategy work? Now, she's saying, will it work? In other words, she's saying, it's not fucking working. It's really what she's saying, you know, because that's what she feels. Now, that's a sort of introduction to the election, right? But I want to say something else, really. And I want to talk about an Italian Marxist called Antonio Gramsci, who was writing in the 1920s when there was profound economic, social and political crisis. And he said in certain periods, what happens is that there is an organic crisis. And he described at the time then an organic crisis of capitalism. This is in the 20s and 30s. And then he says, and in this period, when the old world is dying, but the new world has not yet been born, or is trying to be born, monsters rise, political monsters. What's he on about? Monsters. Nigel Farage. Johnson, Boris Johnson, and
Donald Trump.
And the daddy from America who's coming over, Bush and Farage. You know, these are political monsters.
Not Bush.
Did I say Bush? I didn't mean Bush. Trump. I'm sorry, I lost the plot there. You know, these are political monsters. And the reason that this organic crisis has come about is because there is a dislocation between the base in society, the economic base, about how the economy is organised, and the political superstructure, the political, if you like, expression of the rulers in society. And there's been a disconnect between the two. Because what's good for economically, for British capitalism and the rich bosses, is exactly the opposite of what the Conservative Party political policy has become. We're going to leave the European Union, get Brexit done. All the British capitalists make most of their profits trading with Europe, and they don't want it. So this is dislocation. And when Boris Johnson went, fuck business, excuse me, he said that, not me, he said fuck business, they know what he said. And he didn't get a big round of applause when he spoke at the CBI last week, because there's this disconnection between what's good for British capitalism and what is good for the political, you know, hopes and aspirations of the Conservative Party. And I want to talk a bit more about that, really. Because an organic crisis that the Marxist Gramsci was talking about isn't just a crisis or problem in one part of society. It's in all of it. And if you go through it, and I'll just go through it a bit, I can't go through all of it because it's a big crisis, you can see what we're talking about. Fundamentally, it's an economic crisis because the crash of nearly 10 years ago, they bailed out the banks, they printed a load of money, they pushed austerity, and they cut all of our living standards and the welfare state for 10 years, and growth has not returned. In fact, it's negative at the moment. There's been no revival in British capitalism in terms of profitability, in terms of investment. Basically, there's been an investment strike by those that have got all the money. And this is now being realised by many of the, if you like, the ruling classes, political leaders. And that's why Boris Johnson's got this incredible thing now. He's abandoned austerity, and he's going to spend millions and billions and millions on the health service and all this other stuff. And it's like, you're not supposed to say that. You said we had to have austerity for the economy. Now you're saying we're going to give all this money to the health service. So there's a crunch going on, a real political realignment. Now, The other part of the crisis I mentioned is the crisis of democracy, because how are things decided politically? We have a referendum or the election. We've got this conflict between the two. And it builds on what many people politically describe as a democratic deficit. That for years people have wanted to help to get change, but there doesn't seem to be any democratic way of doing it. In fact, people vote for all sorts of different ways to get change, and then they say we're going to bring change, and we get the change that is no change at all from what there was before. And this is building up huge pressures and huge frustration. And then on the democracy side, we've got this incredible situation where the postal workers get 97% in the election and massive turnout in the election. No, you can't go on strike because one judge says so. And you can't do it because it's going to affect Christmas. You can't do it because they thought it would help Jeremy Corbyn get elected if there was a strike going on. It's absolutely incredible. And there's a similar thing on the cleaners on the London Underground. 97% yes vote, 49% turnout. Oh, we didn't get the turnout right. You know, and this democracy is, well, do we have democracy? You know, even like the sort of democracy we're told we're having, it's a problem, isn't it? Fortunately, we do have a very important opportunity to use the democracy we've got to vote the Tory bastards out in 3 weeks' time. Now, another part of this crisis, organic crisis, I think we call it a crisis of military power, of British, British state. Because Britain is on the European Security Council, always there, fighting the wars with the Americans, but they're lost in Afghanistan. They're lost in Iraq. They couldn't fight in Syria. And just the other week, last month actually, when there was this thing with the ships and the Iran, and one of the British tankers' flags was taken hostage, and then another one, probably Iranian-backed proxy militia, who knows, they bombed the side of one, and Britain says, this is terrible, we're going to send, Britain's got aircraft carriers, big ones, with no aircraft on. Right? What are you going to do? They're going to do nothing. We'll do something with Trump. Trump says, you're on your own, you're building your ships, nothing to do with us. Absolute impotence of British military might. And when Trump comes to Britain in 2.5 weeks' time on the 3rd, Johnson wants to stand next to Trump and say, we're strong leaders together. Everyone's going to look at you and say, you want our NHS, don't you? It's not going to be, oh yeah, doesn't Johnson look good with big Trump? Doesn't he look bad? And Trump's going to insult him anyway, because he wants to weaken all the other countries in the world and all the other blocs to put America first. He's not really interested in his so-called friend, Johnson, Boris Johnson. So the military thing is going to come back in the spotlight, I think, when there is the NATO summit. And then you've got, and I will say this, because this is one thing I couldn't believe. I was a bit shocked when I heard this on the telly. I was watching, and it was, you had the SNP, we will ban Trident, scrap it, we don't want Trident up in Scotland, it could well be an all-Scottish SNP-led country, I don't know, quite likely actually. And we don't want Trident. Next question, Jeremy, they don't want Trident. What do you say about Trident? Jeremy's campaigned against nuclear weapons for 40 years. And it's like, he's going to say, fuck off Trident, we'll spend the money on the NHS. No, he said, Britain must stay within the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and work within the auspices of the United Nations. Yeah, and are we going to have Trident or not? I mean, £100 billion. It's not any use. What's the point? You know, and keeping Trident is in the manifesto. I say that not because I want to throw rocks at Jeremy Corbyn and say it's not quite good enough manifesto. It's a fucking brilliant manifesto, you know. But these questions do come up, and we have to sort of talk about them. So the other part of a crisis is a constitutional crisis. And when I wrote this just 3 weeks ago, I did this, I was thinking about the constitution, but now we've got, what's his name? The monarchy guy. Andrew. I didn't quite know which royal scrounger he was. And anyway, he's all been all over everywhere. And then they asked Jeremy Corbyn yesterday, what do you think about the monarchy? I think it could be improved. Then they asked Johnson, what do you think? I stand by the British institution of the monarchy. What about Andrew? I think Corbyn says we should start with the women, we should start with the victims. Yeah. What do you think, Johnson? You know, I stand by the royal family, or something like that, you know. No empathy or anything or any, you know, whatever. I thought that sort of showed the two. But then you've also got, on the question of constitution, is the United Kingdom? Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales and England, the United Kingdom. And the United Kingdom, which has been a United Kingdom, I think Boris Johnson says the most important union, 1707, it is up for disintegrating. It's up for disintegrating, and if the United Kingdom is no longer a United Kingdom, why would Britain have a place on the Security Council of the United Nations, pretending it's some huge fucking power and all the rest of it? So why I say the United Kingdom is under question is because there's going to be an SNP-led majority in Scotland, and they're saying we want a second referendum as early as possible. In Ireland, the DUP, who were big friends, apparently we give them £1 billion to Johnson, we will never have a border in the Irish Sea, is cut off the DUP, kick them out, and said, border in the Irish Sea, that's my deal. Northern Ireland is still aligned to Europe and all the rest of it. And the whole question of a united Ireland is back on the political agenda, maybe not this year. In 21, it's 100th anniversary. It's going to be. And the majority at the moment in polls across the whole of Ireland would want a united Ireland. Yeah. And I've been campaigning for a united Ireland, wanted a united Ireland for a long, long while. You know, country. Yeah. When you look at it, well, why is that bit split off like that? It's just incredible. But Corbyn is for is integrity of the United Kingdom. Keep Scotland, keep Ireland. You know? Now, our comrades, we have Socialist Workers Party, we have comrades in the north of Ireland, in the south. And they say they want a united Ireland. But they don't want a united Ireland that unites the Dáil Cliath of the south and the Dáil Cliath of the north, the austerity in the north and the austerity in the south, that unites the richest people in Northern Ireland society with the richest in Southern Ireland society who have done well with the housing speculation and all the rest of it. Now, this future united Ireland may well be, I will stay in the European Union. We want, our comrades are arguing, to have a united Ireland that's united on the basis of North and South struggling against racism, struggling against austerity, struggling against the inequalities in society. We want an anti-capitalist one, a socialist type of United Ireland, not a capitalist type of United Ireland. Our comrades in Scotland are campaigning for Corbyn, because Corbyn would benefit the combativity of the working class in Scotland with this fantastic radical programme. It's announced today £50 billion investment in Scotland, but Labour lost all their seats in Scotland because they stood alongside the Tories and said, better together, we'll all stay in the United Kingdom together. Labour lost all of their seats. And I do hope that they do get some seats back, but I don't know. But whether they do or not, whatever happens or not, Scotland also looks like it's becoming moved to independent. Right, okay. So, I just want to say that one other thing about this, what I call an organic crisis, and that is about the environmental disaster, the catastrophic climate change. And Johnson was asked, what do you do about climate change? Actually, I was really annoyed. It was the last bloody question.
I know.
Three on Brexit.
I can't believe
and one on the environment. What do you think, Boris Johnson, about the environment? Get Brexit done.
Yeah, no.
I mean, for God's sake, it's like a one-track thing, you know. He's going to well piss people off. He says everything the next 3 weeks. Brexit done.
He's done it today again, hasn't he?
Yeah. And he doesn't have another thing to say.
No, he doesn't.
Look, I'm biased. I know which side I'm on. But look at it from their point. It doesn't look very good. His campaign is stuttering weak. Did you say he's pulled out of
Channel 4, didn't he?
Out of Channel 4 debate.
Has he?
When he came in the back door yesterday at Salford Quays, people started to. He's fucking scared, isn't he?
Yeah.
People started to see it now.
And it's like, I like that. What I think we need is a bit more anger against him and the rest of them. And when Corbyn yesterday moved away from the safe script, and that's when he really hit home.
That's when he thought.
And that's probably why he ain't going to be on Channel 4, because his advice is that you're going to lose. Wow. Now, I could carry on, you know, about the crisis in housing, in health, in social care, in councils, in benefit, in schools, in prisons. Right. But I just want to end, though, in what about the election prospects? Because the Tories are going into this election divided. Do you remember when every single time they used to say, no, I'm partying divided, I'm never win. Because they were talking about Labour. Well, actually, Labour's not divided. There's been arguments and all the rest of it. But the Tories have split this way and that way and the other way. We now have a convergence in terms of we've got the Tory party, which is led by Johnson and... Anyone ever heard... What's that guy that used to lay on the bench? He's on the naughty step, I think. He hasn't been seen since, has he? They've put him away in a box. Don't come out till the 13th, you know. So, Johnson leads now what is a hard right Tory party.
Yeah.
Bizarrely, just like lots of hard right Tory parties all across Europe, in the European Union, that have had electoral success. Nasty right wing. And he's looking to Trump. I'm going to be like Trump. But there's a difference, because Trump went all around America and he had rallies of 15,000 people.
Yeah.
And Corbyn can't speak to a single person in this country, it doesn't seem to. He can't visit anywhere without people who didn't even know it was coming saying, what are you doing here? And having a go at him. So his side is weak, you know? He doesn't even have a lot of other Tories coming out and speaking. It's just him. I will get it done. Get Brexit done. Now, what did he say? Oh, and also, I will say... Oh, no, I'm not going to say nothing about the Unions. I'm going to end now.
He's rapping on that.
Forget it. Anyway, so, what about the SWP? What are we saying? Well, look, in this election, we are for support and voting for Corbyn in every part of the United Kingdom, in Scotland, Wales and England, and in every seat. So, we're all for that. We want to churn the vote out as maximum as possible, but... We ain't got 500,000 members. We've got a few thousand members. We've got a few people. But our role in this, what we're going to be, act as an independent detachment, or independent, if you like, fighting force in the election campaign. And I say, what do I mean by that? Make it a concrete example. What's he on about? We took Stand Up to Racism with a Boris Johnson racist, get him out, to this protest yesterday. We've got, for Stand Up to Racism, there's an election card, which is going down quite well, you know, stop Boris Johnson, vote against racism. Stand Up to Racism isn't saying, vote Labour, vote Lib Dem, vote Green. It's saying, don't vote for that racist, you know, or his mates who are coming over, Farage and Trump and all the rest of it. We've got, I don't know if you've seen this, I'll leave some of this, there's an election pledge. It's going quite well. We've got serious support from the trade unions. It basically says, keep racism out of the election. You know, because every Tory MP's signed a pledge for Brexit, haven't they? You know? Well, this is the sort of pledge. And every candidate should be asked, will you sign this? And some of them are, you know. But the other thing, as well as anti-racism into the election, because whoever wins, if Corbyn wins or if Johnson wins, there's going to be more racism after the election.
Yeah.
If Johnson wins, he's going to carry on, isn't he? Mm-hmm. He's got a racist vote, an endorsement. If Jeremy wins... they're going to throw everything at him to try and use racism to set up a opposition with him. We've already seen this with all the smears about anti-Semitism and everything. But there's other things going on now. And this is not usual in an election. There's strikes. I'm looking forward to next week in Manchester. You've got University of Manchester are on strike for 8 days. Mm-hmm. And on the Friday of that week, next week, the 29th, is the youth strike for climate.
Yeah.
And... things are going to be happening all over the country, but having strikers march up to join the climate youth campaigners, this is the sort of thing that we want. I saw that yesterday there were strikes and pickets at the sixth form colleges. Great. Some of our comrades went down and had their pictures taken and supported them. I saw in Hackney Diane Abbott on the picket line.
Yeah.
I tell you, this stuff is new.
Holiness.
Yeah, it's like a leading Labour, they're going to be on the climate strike having their photo taken. Corbyn has said, I support XR, well done for what you've done. So this is bringing the struggle into the campaign. And I think the most important guide for us is we want to fan the flames wherever possible of collective struggle. And I just end with this, in Manchester on the 30th, when it's like a day of action, we've got the Keep Our NHS Public, they're having a campaign stall. Stand Up to Racism, we're going to have a campaign stall next to them, and we'll have a megaphone and stuff, because there's, 100,000 people missing in the health service?
Yeah.
And the Tories want to bring restrictions in on letting people come into the country to work in the health service. They're going to say you've got to earn 30,000 or 30, whatever amount of money that you've got to earn, and it's not going to work. So, you know, migrants built our NHS. Our NHS is not for sale. No to a Trump trade deal that sells it off. You know, these things will cut quite well. And so bringing action, struggle, collective resistance onto the streets, into the public domain, agitating in the workplace, going around, will you come? Let's send a delegation from work down to this protest. That's the sort of thing we want to do, because it is 3 weeks, and you know what every single one of us do, it can make a difference. And we're not on our own, because it's people all over the country. What can I do? So let's get involved in pushing in the last 3 weeks to get the maximum turnout, the best vote possible, and to fan the flames of resistance in every area that is possible, because 3 weeks' time it'll be, oh my God, the election. Can you imagine how we'll be feeling waiting for the result? But you know, a new period will open. A new period of struggle will open, more bitter and more protracted afterwards. If Corbyn wins, we're going to have to get behind him and a movement behind him to make sure he's managed to deliver on any of the promises that are in his manifesto. A big struggle is to come, and bring it on. So that's how I'm going to end with that.
Right, thank you very much, Mark. We're going to take just a couple of minutes.